for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, September the 2nd, 1988. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance seminar, camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Backville, Texas, is the speaker of the evening.
Well, I shall relinquish my place to Brother Jack. Brother Jack Harris, to come and minister the word of the Lord this evening. And last night when Speed was talking about giving his testimony, Brother Colonel Speed Wilson was giving his testimony, it reminded me of Brother Jack when he went in and took a battalion command post single-handed, and then received the highest award that France gives for valor. And he didn't even know what he had done until after he had done it. And he wiped out the command post for the German army that was just ready to advance on France. And if they had of, France would not have been able to stand. They didn't have enough men to come against this German army that was against them. And God miraculously had Jack dropped right in behind, and he came right up behind the command post and wiped out every commanding officer of the German army. And then God saw to it that he got out of there and got home safe too. Amen. So I just thought of that when Speed was giving his testimony last night. So the Lord's watched over Brother Jack, and we count it a privilege to have him. Jack Harris from Beckville, Texas.
Thank you, Brother Miller. Praise the Lord. So I'm through here.
During World War II, the most heroic thing I did was I saved an American company's life. I killed the cooks. Not really. That's just kindly a joke that we pass along. Certainly enjoying ourselves here. I was thinking a few minutes ago when Brother Glenn and Irma was having the problem with identifying different ones with different states. I have an old saying that when you're in a crowd like this, don't ever ask anybody what state they're from. If they're from Texas, they'll tell you. And if they're not, no use in embarrassing them. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he? Ah, thank the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. We're just enjoying the good presence of the Lord around here and all the things that have been shared. Am I on? Oh, okay.
Sister Cook, you requested that you sing right now.
Yes, he will. We got till midnight. But there's no wind in the pool while we're at midnight, so we're all right.
This is an old, old song. I don't even know if I can remember the words.
The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Oh, be filled with God's your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. The fig tree is growing, Jerusalem's restoring her national life long dethroned. Today she is calling, her latter rain falling. Return, O disperse to your own. failing for fear. Oh, please be filled with God's Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are crying, and men are denying that Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation spurns God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have trod. For the day of redemption is near. Sing it with me. And men's hearts are failing for fear. Oh, be filled with God's Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Hallelujah, your day of redemption is near.
Good song. Praise the Lord. Always love to hear Sister Cook sing some of those Revelation songs. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our God's great, isn't he? He's moving by his Spirit. Thank the Lord. Isaiah said if it had not been for that very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom and Gomorrah. He indicated that there was a very small remnant that stood between destruction and the Lord. He gets on over to the 53rd chapter, and he says, "Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who's seen anything in all of these projections? Did anybody see a projection of an extension of the arm of the Lord? Or have we just been... have you just been reading our projections as philosophy? Now, if it were philosophy, it would be most beautiful indeed, wouldn't it? Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form, nor comeliness, that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, but he opened not his mouth. He was taken to prison and to judgment. And who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he smitten. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because in him was no violence, neither was deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when he hath made his soul an offering for sin. He shall see of his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. I will divide unto him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Long before fingerprinting became a way of positive identification under the old English law, four marks of identification were enough to satisfy an English court. But Isaiah dared to step out and just voice into the horizon of time for 27 identifying marks on our blessed Lord. 800 years or thereabout before the baby cried in Bethlehem, "Hallelujah." God must have told him, brother. little private joke. But he had to be sure where he's getting this information from, didn't he? Isn't it marvelous? Now we come to the end of an age. With chaos everywhere. And probably, I tell you, that war on the saints, we're under attack. You know it? The enemy? And we need to learn all we can about spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. We need to learn as much as we can about God, don't we? Amen. Oh, I know that, you know, Jesus, when he came to Gethsemane, he dreaded the pain, the agony, and all of these things that awaited him there. Everything that was humane about him belonged to the human race, cried out, and he actually vocal to the Father, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Well, I think that the heavens became kindly pricey, but all from the throne of his excellent glory, I think a voice rang out, "It's too late. I've already set my king in my holy hill of Zion." Hallelujah. It was not possible that Jesus would be saved from the cross. For in the foreknowledge of God, he already had been there. Hallelujah. Amen. And God already in his foreknowledge already had him crowned king. King of kings and Lord of lords. Now I tell you, our blessed Savior was doing what we are doing now. He was walking it out. Hallelujah. And he must needs go by Calvary. Hallelujah. He cannot bypass Calvary. For the Lamb has been slain from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. I tell you, if he didn't go to Calvary, then you've played these movie pictures where you and run them backwards. You know, it looks kind of funny running them backwards. If Jesus didn't go to Calvary, all of the scriptures would have to be run back. You'd see them turning a lamb loose over there in Egypt. You'd see them turning the lamb loose that they caught to foreshadow our blessed Lord. And you'd find them taking blood from over the doorpost and down the lintels as you run it back. Because everything hinged on the Lamb getting to Calvary. Hallelujah. For there he would pay the tab for the whole thing. Hallelujah. There he would pick up the tab as he come along and take it to Calvary. And he'd pay all of our expenses. All of our tab. Of course, now you have to believe on him. Everything is not just automatic, but if you believe on him or believe in him, you will have life. And that is an abundant of life. Hear the Apostle Paul saying, Philippians chapter 3. I'll turn over here and read in chapter 3. Philippians, verse 13. Brethren, Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is saying that he believes he is making reference to his apprehension on the road to Damascus when he was suddenly arrested in his trip there. And at the very time that he was apprehended, he had his pockets full of injunctions against the saints and had the authority from the high priest to go wherever he would and to punish those that belonged to what Paul thought was a sect, ungodly. You know, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was a very brilliant man, intellectual genius. But I'll tell you something else about him, too. He was very deceived. Saul of Tarsus was very deceived. He thought he was doing God's favor to find out. Oh, I'll tell you, God turned his world upside down for him on that memorial confrontation, didn't he? All right? Paul is saying, I know in my spirit that I was apprehended for a specific purpose. Now I have, Paul would say at the end of his life, I have given my life in pursuit of apprehending that for which I was apprehended for. If I may fulfill the purpose that God had in mind when he apprehended me that day. I believe that that the Apostle Paul, who Saul later became the Apostle Paul, I believe that he come as near doing it as any. Now here he is saying, brethren, at this point, I count not myself to have apprehended, but I have certain things that I do. I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm pressing toward the mark for the high calling, of God in Christ Jesus. Now he says here that he is pressing toward the mark. It is a pressing, isn't it? If you would heed the high calling of God, you will have to press. There will be many obstacles. And if you could hear the Apostle Paul, and I don't want to do a rendition on him, but he was pressed beyond measure. And so many. Now we find here the question would arise, Paul saying, forget those things which are behind. Well, what about, you know, they were very legalistic back in those days. Some are yet. And they were remembering the law of God through Moses. And they said, Paul's saying, forget everything that's behind. But Moses said, remember the former things of old. Is that a contradiction? No, indeed. Moses said, if it'll help you any in your pursuit of life, remember those things behind that will help you in your pursuit of God. But forget, Paul said, yeah, that's right, and forget those things that will hinder you in your pursuit to find what you were apprehended for, to fulfill your calling. So one says, forget. Another says, remember. And that's what we have to do. We have to forget a lot of things and remember a lot of things, don't we? Well, praise the Lord. All right, let's turn over to the book of Exodus here. This message is High Calling. I just entitled it High Calling in God, of God. In Exodus chapter 25 and verse 21, the Lord says to Moses here, he's going to talk about, well, here before we get to 21, he's been talking about the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant, you know, and told him how to make it here. He begins with, way back in this chapter here, and God tells them in verse 8, we'll read verse 8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. This is to Israel. Now, to this point, God had had no specific place of meeting with Moses or with anybody for that matter, but now he is going to change that a little bit, and he's going to designate a specific place where he will meet. And here so we find in the 21st verse, thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give unto thee. All right? And then verse 22, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Now we said that God up to this time had no specific place to meet, not even Moses. But now he's going to have, and the place that he's going to meet him is, he uses the word above. I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. I will meet you in a higher realm, because the mercy seat covered the ark of the covenant. Let me tell you my... when I minister, I don't demand that you believe everything just the way that I believe it. If you won't require me to believe everything just the way that you believe it, hallelujah. If you persist in disagreeing with me, I can only give you the privilege of being wrong. Not really. Praise the Lord. All right, I'll commune with you from above the mercy seat. All right, now, this mercy seat, we said, you're familiar with it. It covered the Ark of the Covenant. But what is interesting in the 9th chapter of Hebrews and verse 4, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 4, we read here about this Ark. I can get over here to 9. All right, and verse 4, he's talking about the ark which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Now, this is what the ark of the covenant contained, and God said, I will, if you want to meet with me, I will commune with you from above the mercy seat, which covers the ark, which contained the manna, the Aaron's rod, and the stones. Well, this is quite a gathering of trophies in this box. Hallelujah. The manna speaks of God's provision. God's provision, while the Aaron's rod speaks of God's authority, and the unbroken law speaks of the unbroken table, speaks of the unbroken scriptures or the unbroken law. But God said, all right, I'll meet you above these things. You see, now, what God is saying here is that, the manna we said was provision. Now, I realize that there are some people that serve God because of his provision. They're in the provision realm. And kind of locked in there. If they know why they're serving God, because God does good things for them. Not a bad reason, huh? God doing good things for them. God making all the provisions for them. We say again, that's not a bad reason to serve him. But I tell you, the enemy made a bad mistake one day. In the days long gone by, when God had a meeting in the heavens, and the sons of God came, and Satan came among them, and God pointed out to him a man that was perfect and upright, and directly pointed a question to Satan and said, "Have you considered Job, my servant?" Well, he said, "As a matter of fact, I have. And this is what I have concluded about Job, your servant. He's not serving you for nothing." The enemy thought that Job only knew God in the realm of provision. Hallelujah. In the realm of gimme, gimme. Hallelujah. Now take. But God knew that Job knew him in a much higher realm than that. Well, Job knew him in that realm. It was only a realm to build on, to really come to know God. And, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? From the book of Job, well, at least from that encounter, we learn at least two things. That Job was under consideration by Satan. If he was under consideration by the adversary, then I think it fair to assume that we are too under attack and consideration by the adversary. All right? What is his consideration here of Job? What kind of plans does he have for Job? Well, I'll tell you, he's going to shipwreck him. He's going to devastate this man. He's going to make him curse God and die. Well, that's what he has planned for him. He thinks that's what he's going to do. So what does he plan for us? He wants to devastate us. He wants to make us curse God and die. Hallelujah. He wants to overthrow our faith. But the beauty part of it is now that while Job was under consideration by Satan, he was also under consideration by God. And while Satan said, "I'll make a shipwreck out of this fella," God said, "I'll make Job's name a household word in every house of faith in the whole world, no matter how big the world gets. I'll make him a memorial. And everywhere that people have to reach down deep to bring up faith, every time that one has to search his very spirit, heart, and soul to muster faith, he'll think of Job. And when he thinks of Job, his faith will be enlarged." Hallelujah. I tell you, he made a mistake when he thought that Job only knew him in the provision realm. For Job said, "There is a way that the vulture's eye hath not seen." That's a high way. Hallelujah. Amen. Not a highway of asphalt and metals, but it is a high and a lofty way in God. Hallelujah. And so, all right, then that God said, "All right, I'll meet you above the provision realm. I want to lift you up." What did Paul say in Ephesians chapter 2? He has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, that's our legal position. I don't know if we too many have made their experiential position there yet, but if you have, Satan is called the prince of the powers of the air on that same location at least six times in the New Testament. He's been there too. Now, that's a good place to be with God. Hallelujah. And you couldn't be there without him, but that's not where God wants us to stop. No, that wasn't our eternal rest when God lifted us up to sit with him in heavenly places where even now Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. But I tell you, he better enjoy it, because I think that his reign there is almost over.
You know when he's going to come down from there? I'll tell you when he's coming down is when the sons of God are translated.
Hallelujah.
Come, oh, praise God forever. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, do groan within ourselves, awaiting the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies.
Hallelujah.
For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What man yet hopeth for that which he has? But if you hope for that which you have not, then do you with patience wait for it. Hallelujah. We're waiting for something. But we do not wait as one that despairs. While we're waiting, we're busy waiting. Hallelujah. Get it? We're busy waiting. Hallelujah. Now, oh, what is your hope? Well, you know what my blessed hope is? 25 years ago, I had a blessed hope. Well, about 30 years, I guess, now, since I left that blessed hope. My first blessed hope, I embraced for some years. I'm glad I wasn't still embracing it when Brother Wilson... Now, my first blessed hope was that I hoped I'd die and go to heaven. Not a bad hope. Not a bad hope, is it? Well, what is your blessed hope now? Well, my blessed hope now is that I will live and reign with Him.
Amen.
I believe that is a more blessed hope, don't you? Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that to be the most blessed hope is now that I hope to live and reign with Him. Do you know what I hope to do? Just let me tell you then how I hope to do that. I hope to walk in the light. Hallelujah. That's my blessed hope, is that I can walk in the light. You understand what I mean? 144,000 on Mount Zion has walked into life. It is the first fruits. The Bible said these are the first fruits. Now, if I can walk into life, somebody, at least 144,000, has to walk into life to release the creation that's under bondage to Him, the adversary. When the 144,000 walks into life, it's going to set off a chain of events. Hallelujah. Like the first resurrection and many other things. But that's another teaching, so I try not to get into that. But I'm expecting, or I'm hoping, to walk into life. Brother Tommy said he didn't preach never die. Brother Tommy? I'm not preaching never die. I'm preaching living forever. Hallelujah. I preached a lot of them never dies, the funerals, people that actually believe they'd never die. Now, yeah, but I believe the scriptures. Do we believe the scriptures? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, you standing here and looking down at a casket there, and think of that, and it really registers on you. You're looking here, you know, and you hear Jesus say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he says to Martha, do you understand all the theologists around? No. He didn't, did he? He turned to her and said, do you believe this? And she exclaimed exuberantly, yeah, Lord, I believe. Hallelujah. I believe too. Hallelujah. Well, I don't like to get myself out on a limb like this let me explain to you here what I mean. When the Bible says when the person dies, their body goes back to the dust, and earth from which it come, but the spirit goes to be with God who gave it. So somebody says to me, and I, brethren, would not have you to be ignorant concerning them that are fallen asleep, that you sorrow are not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hallelujah. Somebody said, who is them coming with God? You know, they want you to itemize everything now and label it. Who is them coming with God? And I said, if you stick around till I go by the way of the grave, one of them will be me. Amen. And you know what I'll be coming back for? Yeah. To claim the redemption of this body. Because I want to claim the redemption of this body and have it immediately changed like unto his glorious body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, here it is, as brief, as clear as I can give you. This is my hope. If we are not at the end of the age, and longevity should be too far out for me to walk into life, then I concede that in all probability I'll go by the way of the grave. But I will, hallelujah, but I will not have lost my eternal life. Because when that resurrection, that first resurrection takes place, I'll be coming out of there. Hallelujah. And the beauty of it is that if you study the book, there is no judgment in connection with the first resurrection after the first resurrection. That should tell us something. Since all men must be judged, what happened to the first resurrection judgment? We were judged worthy before we were called into this lofty calling, or before we answered the lofty calling. In other words, you know, the Bible says, pray that you be counted worthy. Well, to escape these things, and we've been counted worthy. There. Now, after the first resurrection, in the other resurrections, notice I said resurrections, beyond the first resurrection, there is judgment mentioned in connection with them. Because they were not judged worthy to make the first resurrection. What I'm telling you about is you won't just accidentally get here. No, hallelujah. If you commune with him from above, the provision, the authority, and the unbroken scriptural realm, you won't just wander in here. Nobody will ask you, what are you doing here? And say, well, I don't really know. I hadn't planned on coming here. I was going somewhere else and I stopped here off here. No, it won't happen like that. If you would reach this lofty position, you'll have to press every day of your life. You'll have to press beyond doubt and unbelief and criticism. Yeah. It won't be easy, but it'll sure be worth it, whatever it cost us. Oh, if every day would be just a hectic, terrible day for us. If in this life only we had hope, said the Apostle Paul, we of all men would be most miserable. He said, in effect, you could go into the institutions of the land and make a survey, and if you could ever decide who you thought was the most miserable creature you've seen, if you'd bring him to me and compare him with me, if I had no hope in Christ beyond this life, I'd be more miserable than the wretched creature that you had chosen to give the trophy to. Hallelujah. I tell you, God, he's bringing forth a company of sons that's going to bind the enemy. You want to know when? Somebody said, how long you been? Oh, about 37 years, I guess, yeah, in the ministry. And I've pastored for 32 years already, same place. But I tell you, now, and the Lord has been gracious to me. The ministry's been really good to me, real good to me. I've traveled wide during all that pastoring. You'd think I didn't travel much pastoring, but I do, yeah, and I have. And the Lord's been gracious to me, and everywhere I've gone, God has given me favor with His people. Hallelujah. Because one reason is that God is God, and that's just the way He loves to do it. And another reason is that I didn't go for any purpose other than to bless them, other than to help them. I have no ulterior motives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm pressing toward the prize for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And I have no motives except that I be a blessing, that I teach somebody the way. The teacher has not taught until the student learns. I tell you, hallelujah. But God is not, oh, praise God forever. The wilderness and solitary places shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with singing. And the glory of Lebanon shall be given to them. And the excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. Our God will come and save us. Then shall the blind eyes be opened, and the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall springs break forth, and springs in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons shall be reeds and rushes. And then highway shall be there. There's that highway again. And then highway. I'll meet you in a high, on a highway. And then highway shall be there, and the way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sadness and sorrow shall flee away. Hallelujah. Highway shall be. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, and the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break His bands from us, let us cast His cords asunder. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, he shall have them in derision, then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron. Dash them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Hear ye, kings, and be wise, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you, and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that do put their trust in Him. Hallelujah. Lord, how art they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, Lord, art my shield and my glory. You are the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard. And I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will be afraid now if 10,000 people gather themselves together against me. Rise up, O Lord, and save me, my God. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to thee, and thy blessings are upon all of your people. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, if God be for you, who can be against you? If he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who is he? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, we're going, oh yes, this is a lofty position. God said, I'll meet you above in the mercy seat. I'll meet you on the terms of mercy. I'll extend my mercy to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Manna. They ate the manna, you know. The Pharisees said to Jesus one day, Moses gave us a law and David gave us Goliath. What are you going to give us? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, Jesus said, your fathers eat manna that fell in the wilderness and they died. But I'll give you some bread to eat if you will eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. You will never taste death. Amen. You won't ever die. It was kind of a hard saying, wasn't it? They wanted him to back up. You know, he was standing out there just big as he was in life, the very source of life. Right about now, they want him to back into Isaiah chapter 53 and be a beautiful poetic saying there. But he'd already stepped out of there. And had, oh my Lord, he'd already come to personify all of these 27 identifying marks that Isaiah had put on him, and he wasn't going to back in there again. Hallelujah. Amen. It is life. He had come to bring life, and that more abundant. That's a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It lifts us up above our circumstances. Your circumstances will wipe you out. There's a passage in, Psalm 78, I believe to be the 19th verse. But we'll read the 18th with it. And they tempted God in the heart by asking meat for their lust, back in the wilderness now with the forefathers. And yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now, isn't that amazing? Then he says, he goes head till he smote the rock and brings them water. But they just said, they spake against God. But what they said is, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And God brought an injunction against them and accuses them of speaking against him because they questioned his ability to feed them in a wilderness where there was nothing to eat. And God didn't like that, does he? Hallelujah. Amen. I wonder if he's still that particular. I would assume that he is. That he, you know, there is a, well, something broke down here. What broke down here? I mean, here's a people that have come out of Egypt's bondage with great miraculous deliverances. And they've come, Moses has been God's spokesman, and he's been promising them that God was going to bring them into a promised land, to a land that they would be their own. And it would be a very fruitful land, and they'd have good lives, and they could raise their families unmolested. God had made great promises to them. And here they come, and they get out here in the wilderness, and they say, Can God? There has been a breakdown somewhere. Now, where was the what broke down here? God said, I'm going to bring you into a land that is fruitful and plentiful. They get out there, and they're about to starve to death. There's been a breakdown in something. I'll tell you what that something is, where the breakdown comes from. It didn't come from God's promise and from God's end. It come from them and from their unbelief. Hallelujah. Paul said, I concede that the law is honorable. It's even holy, he said, didn't he? the problem is me. Paul said, yeah, when the promises break down, it is in the weakness of this flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, oh, he was having quite a struggle, so it seems, in the 7th chapter of Romans, wasn't he? He finally cries out, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. I tell you, when we finally learn to put our complete trust in God, we will have learned a lot, won't we? Yes, we will. Hallelujah. Well, that's where the sons of God will have to come to. Next, all right, let's go on into our message a little bit here. I'm trying not to be too awful lengthy tonight. The Aaron's rod was in the ark. Well, this rod is the type of represents authority, doesn't it? And you know, Aaron's authority was questioned. Moses' authority was questioned, and that's how come the ark of the rod of Aaron became famous, is when it was questioned. His authority was questioned, and Moses said, "All right. If you think that we are presumptuous and we are usurping some authority that we don't rightfully have from God, let every prince of each tribe bring his rod, and we'll stack them in the tabernacle before the presence of God." And Aaron brought his, and the 12 tribes brought theirs, and they stacked them just overnight. Couldn't have been more than a few hours. And they came back. It's in Numbers chapter 17. They came back, and Aaron's rod had budded, blossomed, bloomed, and yielded fruit. Boy, you talk about hybrid. Them people that's always been messing with that corn, trying to get it to, you know, grow bigger ears and smaller stalks, and and the ears mature out and wrap the little end up. They've come a long ways from the old corn that we used to plant in East Texas. When I was a boy, we used to plant our corn about a good long step, one stalk to a long step, and you know, it'd make 3 or 4 ears if you got rain, everything was favorable. But now they plant it thick, you know, and it don't get all. Some of these stalks that we planted get, they'd go 14, maybe 14 feet high, maybe taller than that. I don't know. They'd really get up there. But then they began to hybrid, you know, to cross-section this stuff, and they called it hybrid. We got hybrid seed. It produces faster and more abundant. But I tell you, they still haven't come up to Aaron's rod, have they? Hallelujah. Amen. That thing made almonds. And almonds, it's not really a fast, it's seasoned. It doesn't come that swiftly. Overnight, God showed them where the authority was, didn't he? And he shows them, you know, what this has to do with divine order. I do a teaching entitled, "Have You Passed Under God's Rod Yet?" It may be on tape. I believe it will be on tape back there. If it is, it would be worth your while to get a copy of that. It'll shake your nest wherever you built it. Amen. Yeah. Aaron's rod of authority. All right. We said this speaks of authority. Some people, you know, that's why there's so many denominations, Brother Speed, because of authority. Somebody says, "What's the difference in this group of Pentecost and that other group, you know, by name?" And I said, "Oh, no difference." "Oh, yeah, Brother Jack, has got to be some difference. They one of them split off from the other." And I said, "Well, if you ask them, you ask me, but if you'll ask," and I say there's none, "but if you'll ask them, they'll give you some little minute doctrinal difference." But what actually happened, I'm going to tell you what actually happened, was that there was two personalities vying for the top position in that original one. And when number two could not overthrow number one, number two started another one. He believes the same thing he always believed. And then the cycle starts over again. From this one, there arises another, and here comes another split. They're only personality splits. It's all they were. You're looking at an old come out of the come outers. Hallelujah. Amen. I came up through the school of Old Line Pentecost, came right into the kingdom message by revelation from God. Never heard nobody teach it, preach it, or even hint it. Some of the terms that are so familiar in the move of God circles, I coined them. Yeah. I'm telling you that I'm a pioneer. You get the message? In the sonship message, but that don't make me... All right, I got it by revelation. So somebody often says, I wish I'd got it like Brother Jack. And I said, well, if you get it, you got it like Brother Jack. You have to get it by revelation, even though I teach it to you. I can teach you sonship. I can teach it from A to Z. When I settle down into a teaching session, and I can teach it to you, but if you get it, you got it by revelation. Here Paul say, if any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know it. You know what this amounts to is you don't know it with your thinker. Yeah, you know it with your knower. That makes sense? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. If you know it with your intellect, you have to know it by the Spirit. Unless you've heard deep call unto deep. Unless the depth of the voice from the throne has disturbed the depth of your inmost being, I tell you, you don't yet know it like you ought to know it. Hallelujah. When you know it by the Spirit, you can depend on it. If you just know it through the intellect, somebody can make a better presentation, another direction, and alter the intellect. But that you know by the Spirit. That's why Paul said we no longer even want to know a man by the flesh. We want to know him by the Spirit. You can't even know yourself by the flesh. You know that? Something will happen in your life. And you will react, your reactions seem like a stranger to you. And when it's all over, you are amazed, embarrassed, or whatever, maybe several of those different emotions, that you reacted like you did. You. If anybody had asked you in a given circumstance like that how you'd react, you would have said you'd have done it differently. But, you can't know this old man. He's the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So, the only way but there's one thing that we can depend on, and that's the Spirit of God. And all as much of the Spirit of Him as you have, that's how dependable you are. That's how dependable I am, is how much of His Spirit. You know, when I've never been a legalistic preacher. Even when I came up to the Old Line Pentecost, I wouldn't preach legalistic. That was one of the things they resented about me, is I wouldn't get into all that legalistic stuff. And I never was legalistic. I'm never looking for your faults. You know what I'm looking for? I'm trying to see how much Christ I can see in you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I just want to see how much of Him I can recognize in you. And while I'm doing that, you look me over and see how much of Him you see. Hallelujah. Don't look for my faults. If we look for each other's faults, I'm sure we can find them. Yeah. I always, what the old saying, I always figured it was better to feed the sheep than to cuss the goats or whatever.
Yeah, you know, just... There's a scripture in the Bible that said in those days there was no teaching priest. And so they didn't have the laws of God. And they didn't, you know, they went astray. God has raised up teaching ministry. I came up through the old order, as I said, and if anything, that old line Pentecost didn't want, it was a good teaching ministry. They didn't want that. They wanted just, yeah, hallelujah, emotional, you know, and they could, it's amazing how little they could learn in 40 years. It is. It's amazing how little. I was ever astonished at how they could have just been around for so long and know so little about God. And perfectly good people, too, I'm telling you. And then, you know. The ones that I would have in mind, if I had anybody in mind, they've already gone on to meet their reward. And I'm just confident that they met God in peace. I mean, I'm not taking salvation away from them. I'm simply saying that they just circled the same mountain too long. Hallelujah. And lost any desire to come up higher. God said, all right, I'll meet with you here. That's above the provision realm, above the legalistic or whatever kind of authority. And then in the ark was the unbroken tables of stone, thus symbolizing and signifying that in Him, you do know that the ark was the type of the blessed Lord, don't you? And you do know that everything in it was also a type of the blessed Lord, don't you? And that the mercy seat that covered it was also. Everything was Him. And in Him, when the law, the unbroken tables, were found in the ark intact, thus signifying that in Him alone had the law been kept and not broken. He never broke the law because He understood the law. Yeah, hallelujah. Jesus, somebody said, you know, you've heard them say, Jesus broke with the law. No, He didn't break with it. He understood it. He didn't break the law. He understood, and He did the intent. They accused Him of breaking the law, but He knew what the intent of the law was. Well, I guess He should. He wrote the documents. Hallelujah. Amen. And He knew what the intent was, and so He went about keeping God's law. Hallelujah. Well, you know, the Bible said that the Lord will magnify His law and make it honorable. He'll magnify the law and make it honorable. Well, of course, there are those that, you know, the minute that you do any admonishing at all, they holler, law. You're under the law. Well, Jesus didn't. He wasn't a lawbreaker. He was a lawkeeper. He kept the law. He kept the intent of the law. Hallelujah. He knew what the intent was. Is the intent. See, we're not bound to the letter of the law, but we're bound to the intent. Somebody was mentioning this. Was it this morning, I guess, brother? Seven, should I forgive my brother? No, that was Gene, wasn't it? Should I forgive my brother 7 times 70? Which is 490. Well, Peter said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother if he offends me in a day? Would you say a dozen times? No, he said, how about, would you say 7 times? He said, no, how about 7 times 70? That's 490. Now, what is happening here? Let's just play it on out. If the Apostle Peter went thereafter and somebody was able to offend him 490 times, who knows what he was bound to do to obey Jesus? Forgive him, wasn't he? Suppose, though, that he had a real bad day and somebody offended him 491 times. Now, what is he supposed to do? What? You got it. He is not bound to the letter of the law, the intent. And Jesus came keeping the, personifying the intent of the law. Hallelujah. And so when he was accused of breaking the law, he only broke their traditional law. Hallelujah. He never broke the laws of God. And in him was found the tables intact, thus signifying again that he is the only one that was able
to keep the law without breaking it. Moses, as good as he was, and as great as he was, he only, after he received the law, he only had the law, the tables intact, for a short time, until he threw them on the ground in his wrath, in a state of emotional anger, and broke the tables that the law was written on, and had to take a couple more stones back up into the mountain and have God write it again for him. And this, hallelujah, man has the whole well. So then, what are we saying? Man was unable to keep the law because of the weakness, not of the law, but because of the weakness of the flesh. And so God says, all right, I want to meet you above that realm.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I'm going to prepare a place where I can meet you above that realm. I'm going to meet you above the mercy seat. I'm going to meet you not in the realm of the weakness of the flesh being unable to correspond and coordinate with me, but I'm going to meet you in mercy, above the mercy seat. This is the high calling and the high position that God was wanting to meet Moses at in that hour. Well, we said that, you know, that Job said, there is a way that the vulture's eye have not seen. No, it's a lofty position. I tell you, there are a lot of religious people. It's popular to be religious, isn't it? Now, all you politicians close their speeches by saying, God bless, may God bless you. You notice that? Well, if you'll get some of the old excerpts and go back 12, 15 years ago, you won't hear none of them saying that. What happened? Where, is it a better quality of politicians today? No. Oh, boy, that was a good one, wasn't it? Well, something happened now. They're all God conscious and want you to think they are. And they, you know, they come off like the priest. May God bless you. Yeah. Yeah, of course, it's popular to be religious. What happened here? I mean, I remember when it wasn't popular to be. Oh, my Lord. And I preached this message when it was not popular to preach it. And I preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just being baptized the Holy Ghost. Well, when it was real unpopular, they used to kind of laugh at us. Amen. Of course, we didn't care. We figured we'd get the last laugh anyhow. Praise the Lord. We didn't really care. But and then all of a sudden, or over a period of time, it becomes popular. No, I remember when you couldn't mention the baptism of the Holy Ghost hardly. I mean, you just wouldn't dare just in any congregation or anything mention the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, well, I know what's happening. And there is the enemy is well organized and running a conspiracy against the saints and against the church too. Here's all of these things that have happened here in the last few months, all the downfalls. I see a conspiracy there by the adversary. This movie, The Last Temptation, portraying Jesus as it does, you know that's an abomination. Well, but I believe that through the ministry, the abominations in the ministry, in the high ark of the ministry, when God begins His judgment, where does He begin? Sanctuary. I believe that it paved the way as men fell from God and made a presentation of themselves as being ungodly, and it was hard to accept. And then comes another. That even more difficult to accept, and then others, and it was all paving the way. This is just another step in the stones. I tell you, to try to overthrow the church of the living God. You see, the devil don't want these sons to come to Zion. He don't want me to walk into life, because when I walk into life, hallelujah, he comes down. Hallelujah. and all that it's going to be from for him from there on is he's first going to be bound 1,000 years while we reverse God's creation. My ministry will have, will begin to flourish the moment that he is bound. Hallelujah. We'll begin to reverse the trend that has been gathering speed for eons. Hallelujah. Until, you know what's going to finally happen? Until finally we will, under the kingship of our blessed Lord, present to all that remain a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But there's a lot between here and there. I tell you, there's a lot between here and there. So we must be about the Father's business. We must come up and meet Him on a higher plane. Rise above our circumstances and be victorious.
Yes.
He has not brought us to be defeated.
Yeah,
praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, now. I bless your lovely name, Lord. I thank you for your goodness toward us. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Savior. Praise the lovely, lovely, lovely Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, now. Oh, I thank you now, Lord. Would you stand with me? Praise the lovely Lord. Thank our God forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the lovely Lord. Hear, give ear. Yea, he that hath a spiritual ear, open up your ears and see what the Spirit will say to you this night. Yea, and I say unto thee that I have not brought thee this way, that thou would be frustrated, yea, disappointed, no, yea, and that you would be weakened, but I have brought you that I might strengthen you in the power of my might, saith the Lord. Yea, I have not brought thee that I might leave you halfway, or that I might drop you in the wilderness. But I tell you, if you will put a little human initiative, yea, I will furnish the sovereignty, and you will come over and come up higher, and you will come up to me, saith the Lord, thou God, and we shall commune together. We'll have fellowship. I'll sup with you, and you can sup with me, saith the Lord, thou God. Only be not discouraged, be not dismayed, don't be afraid of the chaos that you see around you in the world today. For I know that the Lord of glory, yea, has already set his king in his holy hill of Zion. Yea, I shall bring to naught the wisdom of man. Yea, I shall bring to naught the conspiracies that are formed against my people. Yea, and I shall see that all weapons formed against you shall not be prosperous. Yea, but they shall surely fail, saith the Lord of hosts. Yea, for I shall bring you to a life and a time of peace. A peace in your spirit. A peace and prosperity. I speak of spiritual things. Hear me with a spiritual ear. Saith the Lord thou God. For it is my purpose, yea, to raise thee up and make thee a strong people that will be able to do exploits in the face of the enemy. Yea, even while you are under the most severe attack by the enemy, yea, exploits shall come forth. For I shall make of you a great people because it is of my choosing and not your own, saith the Lord. Yea, I have chosen thee that you might go forth and bear fruit, and that fruit may I remain, saith the Lord thou God. So therefore, thou shalt go forth and be fruitful. Yea, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Yea, say that the kingdom of God is at hand. Yea, not only say, will you say that the kingdom of God is at hand, but you must demonstrate the attributes of the kingdom of God. And then all that see and all that shall hear shall know that indeed and in truth the kingdom of God has come nigh unto them, saith the Lord. Yea, I speak to my people. The prophets even now are sounding the trumpets. And the call is going forth to come up and be holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, eschew and shove away from you that which is evil, for I shall teach thee to choose the good and to reject the evil, saith the Lord thou God. For you shall become a people of wisdom. It shall be the wisdom of the Almighty, yea, that he shall endow thee with. For you, because you have been chosen, and when you heard me call, you said, here am I. Yea, so I invite you to come, yea, to approach the throne of grace, not weary and uneasy, but that you approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that you will find mercy and grace to help you in your time of trouble, in the time of peril, for the Lord hath spoken, and who is he that can gainsay, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. Brother Glenn, I'm too. Praise the Lord.
We the people of God, called by his name, called from the dust and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ Jesus the Son. We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ Jesus the Son. With our lips let us sing one confession, with a heart full to want truth alone. For he has erased our transgression, he's named us and called us his own, his very own. Declare it, declare it. We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ Jesus the Son. Hear us, O spirit of darkness, so you will know where we stand. Hear us, purchased with God, bought by the blood of the Lamb, blood of the Lamb. Oh, declare it again. We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of the sun. You know, the word of the Lord tonight said to come before him with confidence.
Hallelujah.
If we're the people of God tonight, and if we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we have confidence in him. Amen. We can sing it again. We don't have to have our heads hung down tonight. We can lift our head to him who is in the high place tonight. And he's calling us to himself to come up into that place in him. We can come with confidence tonight. And we can sing. We can worship him. He's redeemed us. He's called us his own. I think we ought to sing the whole song again. Amen. With our lips let us sing one confession. With a heart full to want truth alone. For he has erased our transgressions. He saved us and called us his own. His very own. Oh, amen. We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race saves everyone because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son.
I thank you for the presence of your Spirit that dwells in this place. I thank you for your anointing that rests over your word. And I thank you, Lord, for your word that we hide it in our heart, that we sin not against thee, that we walk forth in victory and in life, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to him be the glory and the praise. We take authority over the powers of darkness, and we bind the powers of darkness, and we release the glory and majesty of the light of your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come forth in the life of every one of us. And I thank you, Father, for that privilege that we have, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, I invoke your blessings and your anointing over each person and over them as they travel tonight to the place of rest. Father, bring us back tomorrow for the rest of this week as we gather together to praise and magnify Jesus, that the word of the Lord may come forth and that we hide it in our hearts, that we will be able to declare, it is written. And in the authority of that word, we declare that Jesus is Lord, and we take our place of dominion and authority, pulling down the strongholds, setting the captives free, and releasing the glory and majesty of the power of the living God in the lives and hearts of your people. I thank you and I praise you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.